basics are the gateway to the incredible stuff. Like, you can't overlook basics.
You gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by Gorilla Nation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is somebody from the United States who's inspiring the community with really crazy skills, combining Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with calisthenics. I'm happy to welcome you to the show, Kiri Fontana, also known as Miss Kiri.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Having me on the team too.
Yeah. True. You're a team member already for a long time. I'm super happy that we finally make this interview happen. And people asked for it, people requested it, and now we are here and talking a little about your calisthenics street workout journey, about your life in general. And everything's fine on your side. Everything's good these days.
Yep. Everything's good. COVID stuff is finally over for us, generally speaking. Training is going awesome. No injuries right now.
That's cool. So,
yeah.
That's super cool. With the injuries, that's rare for calisthenics athletes, I feel. Like everybody always has something which is bothering him. And you are also somebody who is like sometimes hindered by injuries.
Yes. I mean, I have had some serious injuries in the past, and, you know, I've had a few big setbacks, but yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Maybe we can talk about them later and you can share, share a little about them. Starting the interview is always interesting to know, how did you start with the sport? How did you get in touch with street workout?
Let's see. I feel like there's so many different ways I could answer that question, but I definitely always wanted to be a gymnast when I was a kid, but I didn't have that opportunity. So I kind of did weird stuff in the park, you know, headstands, attempts at handstands, push-ups, played on the bars. And then later, let's see. My dad took me to the gym when I was 12 years old and taught me how to like work out, like, you know, push, pull, legs and stuff. He died right after that. Oh. And I got really serious about working out, kind of probably to, you know, put that energy somewhere. And maybe a few years after that, I changed my workouts into more of a calisthenic style and just kind of got obsessed from there.
Wow. So that was unexpected. I feel kind of overwhelmed by that.
It's okay.
As you said, like, you had to put the energy somewhere, and you the sport gave you basically the channel to invest that energy and to transform it to something good, right?
Yep. Yeah. And I just kind of developed a very intense attitude towards my training, and started grappling soon after that, and was always just really serious.
So everything that you do in sports, you do with 100%. Is it like something that I hear from that?
Yes, totally.
Cool. So going back to these days, to your beginning in the sport, like, how did you start? Like, have you always been, like, when you already practiced in the park, have you been a sporty person all of your life? And was the beginning easy for you?
So no, I never did sports as a kid. This is kind of a funny story. You might get disturbed by some of the things I say, but
that's okay.
I grew up in a really crazy house and people smoked all the time and like never opened the windows. So when I first worked out, I like couldn't even run a quarter mile because like my lungs, I felt the sensation of someone who had been smoking for 12 years. Mm-hmm. So no, it was really hard for me, but I overcame that challenge, like, and now I cherish cardiovascular, you know, ability. And if I ever feel like my cardio is slipping it off for like one reason or another, like maybe I'm focusing too much on strength or not doing enough, like I'll stop everything and address that. So I wasn't like a childhood athlete or anything. That's probably why some of the stuff I do like isn't really traditional or you know or like properly done. I don't know.
So you invented your own style, you developed it just by like just freestyle, you know, like just trying
it
out.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah. And starting with the gym, and then why did you switch to calisthenics after starting with the gym?
So I was really strong in weightlifting and I couldn't do a pull-up. I'm sure that's kind of a common story mm-hmm. for people getting into calisthenics, and it actually made me mad. So I ended up applying principles from personal training to my approach to calisthenics. And now I can do muscle ups, pull ups, and, you know. Wow. So
that's super inspiring and super, also unexpected for me, I have to say. Like I thought when I see you, like you're doing these crazy things, you're doing the human flag, the muscle ups, etc. So it seems that you just were born with it, like that's how it looks when I look at your social media, but it's like earned. It's like a product of hard work and not something that was given to you in the first place.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so because somebody also asked from the community if you ever did bodybuilding. Maybe you want to address that.
That's a good question. So the way I started out in training was kind of a bodybuilding style with like a adaptation phase, a hypertrophy phase, mm-hmm. you know, all that. Mm-hmm. And I actually, my favorite way of templating my calisthenics workouts is kind of that bodybuilding style. So we'll get into that later, but I kind of did do bodybuilding. I didn't do shows because I'm super shy, but but that was my style of training for a long time.
Okay. So beginning to start to train, like your main goal in workout, maybe saying for calisthenics, what was your main goal with the workout, with street workout in the beginning?
In the beginning, I was obsessed with muscle ups and human flags.
Mm-hmm. So you just wanted to unlock these skills, right?
Yes. And remember, I was strong at the time. So I went and I found bars and I threw myself on the bars and I was like, wait, I can't even hold myself up on here at all, let alone like sideways.
Crazy. I can't imagine that. I think
glad.
I think it's a lie, but if you say it, it has to be true.
Yeah, don't imagine it. We'll just we'll erase it from history.
I would be interested in like what were your thoughts in the beginning? Did you ever think that you would become that strong that you are today? Did you always have this mindset, I want to do the unlock the human flag, I will do it? Or like did you have doubts and
I never really had doubts. I just kind of studied techniques and people who do it, and I see the way to get there, and I just apply myself to that. And this, it's weird, but I never really had doubts. Even with muscle ups, like it took me a long time to get my mm-hmm. first muscle up. And at one point I had a serious shoulder injury from doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And even then I didn't have doubts.
Okay. Was it from a chicken wing muscle up or what was it?
It was from maybe a little bit of overtraining and just like yanking myself on the bar like a crazy person. Like I pictured myself doing this beautiful movement and just threw myself on there over and over. And I had trained like a couple of hours that day already, and I was hungry, but I wanted to get that muscle up, and I got an injury instead.
And that's maybe already one learning that we can take from this interview, to like, especially for you as somebody who is doing all the stuff that you do with 100%, that it can become dangerous, like overtraining and like wanting it too hard and not recovering enough. Or what would you say?
Yeah, not recovering enough for sure, but also not starting with the basics, like, you know, really simple techniques, and training them until you own them completely, and then slowly, methodically putting it together.
True. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, maybe switching to today. Like, how does your workout look like today? How do you split your workout? How do you how does your program look like?
So, there's going to be two answers to this question. One is I divide my programming up into, I first start with how many days a week or how many sessions a week I'm going to train. And then I template it with movement patterns. So vertical push, vertical pull, horizontal push, horizontal pull, prone lever, supine lever, knee dominant hip workout. I'm sorry, knee dominant lower body, hip dominant lower body. So deads versus squats. And then I kind of divide that evenly based on the intensity I'm going to put on a certain day. And then I kind of insert my calisthenics goals into that. And then I kind of go from there and build the actual workouts with progressions.
Wow. So that's basically something that everybody can do like for himself. So it's like kind of a template, which is applicable to everyone, everybody's goals, right?
Yeah. Cause for me, it's really important to stay balanced, like not only training one movement pattern or plane of motion, cause that can lead to injuries and I don't know. It's just, I think it's cool to be balanced as an athlete, like so people who can do only push, only planche, but not, you know, any pull movements. So yeah, there's different reasons I do it like that. And everyone would be able to approach it the same way. Yeah. If they wanted to.
Yeah. And it definitely makes sense. Like you are really strong in pull. You are really strong in, and like with muscle ups, you are really strong in push with the human flag. You do leg workouts, you do cardio, like you are, your goal is to be an overall athlete, right?
Yes.
That's cool. That's really, really cool. And I think the most healthy way to approach training.
Thanks.
Did you ever had the fear of not specializing enough? Like, did you ever had the thought of maybe if I would only have trained like muscle ups, I could now do it one arm, you know, like something like this.
Every day I have that, especially since I do two sports.
Yeah,
sure. And I consider every day, I think I'm going to quit either calisthenics or jiu-jitsu. And I'm going to be great at one of them because I feel like the progress is so slow. I mean, not so slow, you know, but for my expectations that I have set for myself, I think about that every single day. But I feel like for me, this is the right way. And that leads me to the other part of my answer. I was training with Vadim. I had Vadim doing my programming for a while. And he also has a balanced approach, but I told him I didn't want to do any lower body. I just wanted only like upper body explosiveness. So I felt like when I changed that approach, I did start to become imbalanced and weaken certain parts of my body. And again, it's not because of him. He was so funny when I told him that. He said, okay, you don't want to be complete. I don't want to be complete anymore. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like the balanced approach is the way to go.
You said for your expectations, you're doing slow progress. Like, what are your expectations of yourself? Like, what is your standard?
Oh my gosh, it's so ridiculous. Like, I pretty much see the greatest athletes, like, and I feel like I want to be exactly like them. Like, you know, looking at, like, again, like Vadim or say Gadji, you know, Gadji, I'm like, oh, I want to do one arm handstand just like Gadji, just walking in the sky. And I know that my body's capable of that. And same with like crazy muscle up sets and pull sets with front levers in there. Like, for me, that's the standard. And I'm just making my way there.
Do you sometimes think about like that it's harder for you as a woman? Like, do you feel that, or is it something that's not existent in your head, or do you see otherwise?
That's a good question. So, and I'll answer that with a story. When I signed up for the men's wrestling team as a kid, I was judged at the time. It wasn't considered cool. And my coach looked like, my coach hated the fact that a girl was wrestling. And it was obvious. Everyone saw, like, you're weak compared to everyone. And I completely murdered that idea in my mind. And I worked so hard. Like, anytime there was a push-up competition, I always made sure to win. Like, I had this crazy iron will. And now I don't have that at all. Like, I don't even see the differentiation there. It's kind of maybe silly, but yeah, to me, when I go in the gym and I see all these beast meatheads, I'm the same as them in my head.
And that's like super interesting, because you can't change the fact. And of course, like, it depends on what kind of mentality somebody has, because there might be somebody who is setting unrealistic goals and then like being completely unhappy when she doesn't reach these goals. Right. But it depends on your mentality, how you deal with failure, like that's, or like with challenges, you know. There are the people who like are extra motivated. If you say you can't do that, they are like 200% motivated and they will crush everyone just because of the iron will, as you said it. And there are the people who are like, who take it too hard, too much, like when somebody says something like this. Would you say that you're more motivated by if somebody tells you can't do something?
Not necessarily. I think back in my wrestling days, I that did serve me in terms of motivation. But now, like I said, in my head the playing field is equalized, even though objectively speaking I know it's not necessarily true. I just don't even think about that. That allows me to celebrate the successes that I do have instead of worry about, you know, comparisons or failing to get to the goals I set.
Interesting. Like talking about crazy skills from Gachi or like Vadim, that we also have to respect, and you already said it, to do the basics. Maybe you can share your viewpoint on basics in general. Are they necessary, mandatory for everyone? How do you think about that?
I believe in my opinion, I know everyone has their own opinion, but basics are everything. Basics are the gateway to the incredible stuff. Like, basics open up the doors to the cool stuff. You can't overlook basics.
Why is that? Because of injuries, because of strength, because of what is it?
Well, oh, you could always say because of injuries, but as we discussed, I like the well-round, I take the well-rounded approach. And, you know, like, let's take freestyle, for example. Yes, it's cool that some guys are just flying round and round on the bars. But to me, it's the a more complete athlete is able to, you know, stop and hold a front lever and do these more strength-based skills. And then I think that it would be weird. This, I don't know if this makes sense, but it would be weird if that same dude couldn't bust out, you know, strong pull-ups or dips, you know. I don't know. That wasn't a very well thought out answer, but
no, but it's true. Like I definitely see the point. So from your first workout ever, like with basics, maybe let's exclude the weightlifting and gym phase, but like from your first basics workout, street workout, to your first muscle up, how long did it take you to learn the first muscle up?
Probably 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I still struggle with muscle ups. I know people say like, you're the muscle up queen and stuff. And I'm like, don't say that. Natalia is.
Yeah.
But yeah. it's hard for me. Yeah.
So that's a super long time. And like, maybe these people who like, it's like, this is the danger of social media, I feel, especially of these short videos, short photos, etc., where you only see the end result and you don't see the 6 years of getting there. Muscle up, can you share your journey? Like what was the problem? How did you solve it? Like how did you learn it?
So it started with pull-ups. I had to master pull-ups first, and I have a pull-up program I use that I got from Mike Boyle, who's an Olympic hockey trainer, where you start with one rep, four sets of one, and then you add one rep each workout. So three sets of one, one set of two, two sets of one, two sets of two, on and on until you get to your rep goal. So I started with that, so mastering pull-ups. And then, like I said, I there was a long time where I trained it wrong. I just thought, you know, throw yourself on the bar and stuff. So that was probably a 1 year period, maybe, after I got better from my injury that I caused. I started working on, I got my first muscle up by using the false grip.
Oh, wow.
Which to me is a cheat because for some reason it's so easy.
Crazy.
Weird, because
for,
I know.
For a lot of people, the false grip is really, really difficult to hold it.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, here, I found the cheat code. But I still wanted to do it like, you know, street workout style, like properly. Mm-hmm. And then I started using a kip and doing negative muscle ups. And man, on and on until now. Well, yeah, now the way I approach it is I do high pull ups that start with a retraction and then protract, you know, to properly protracted high pull up. Mm-hmm. Use a power L sit as you go up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, gosh, the journey to the first muscle up is kind of hell. I kind of blocked it out of my memory. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is so hard.
Yeah, it is. And like, I still remember when I had wanted to unlock the front lever, I think it was in 2013 something, and I didn't know how the move was called. So I couldn't just put it on YouTube because I didn't know back then, like about calisthenics and the name of the muscle up. So not like just trying out, and it, you feel so helpless, you know, like the muscle up is not like, like a, and I think this is the barrier in calisthenics and street workout. You either can do a move or you can't do it. Like, it's not with like with bench press where you can just put a 5 kg plate on it. But if you can't do a muscle up, you can't do a muscle up. And that feels really helpless. So I'm always interested in the journey, how you get away from there. Like, did you have people around you who were also doing this journey and going this this way?
No one. I looked crazy. I was so, and that's actually why I started an Instagram account. I was so obsessed with attaining these goals, and it was like, I talked about it all the time. I kept sending videos to my friends, like group text, like, look what I did today.
No response.
Finally, people started ignoring it altogether. And I was like, I hate social media, but I need to start an account. So yeah, no, I didn't have people around me.
Crazy. So the moment you didn't get replies anymore on WhatsApp, you started Instagram and just thought, yeah, if they don't reply, I need new people. Which was a good decision, I guess, like with your community. Like, a lot of people wrote really nice questions and nice compliments into the Instagram sticker and said that you're gorgeous and like you're inspiring. And that's like super nice to see how many people you touch. Like,
it's nice.
And also sometimes just underneath your posts or like your advertisements, people write, yeah, Kiri is the best ambassador, the best athlete you have. And like, that's I think it was a really good decision to start with Instagram. And I think it's cool that you share your journey.
Thanks.
And you do things differently. This is what I like you do things differently. You show new ideas, like for example, I think a lot of pro athletes, they don't show the way and the training behind the skills. And you, I think you share well the journey and the experimenting with the, I have to think of the impossible dip with the help, you know, with the support behind it. Yes. So stuff like that. That's really cool.
Thanks.
Do you still remember because it was also a question how long you took from the first street workout ever to the first human flag? Like, how long did it take to learn this skill? Was it longer than the muscle up or shorter?
Longer.
Oh. Is it like years?
It was
or
like 7 years.
How many?
Like 7 years.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe also more. Also earned, not given. Like, what was the main difficulty in the human flag journey?
Probably time spent on the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that movement for some reason comes more naturally to me than like say a muscle up or a front lever or anything that involves like mostly pulling. Mm-hmm. I like the human flag because it has some pulling and some pushing and some core activation. So like being physically balanced with my training, I feel like that move kind of just feels natural to me.
Cool. I will ask a really mean question, and I know you're not prepared for it, but are you able to do the human flag on both sides? Like, because you're an all-around athlete and athlete, are you able to do it on both sides, the kind of the same?
Yes. So it's funny. One side, I have to get a little bit supine with my body. Mm-hmm. And the other side, I can get like straight on. Wow. I think there's a photo where I did both sides and you could see the difference. It's kind of funny, but yeah, I can hold the line on both sides.
Well, I didn't expect that because I just know I can just take myself as an example. Like it's a skill that's kind of easy on one side and the other side feels like, damn it, I will never unlock it. So yeah, good for you and respect for that. That's cool also to avoid disbalances, I guess. Nice. Yeah. Another thing, I'm deeply impressed, and like we had the viral push up with the two fingers, which went really, really well. How did you train? How do you train the finger strength? Is it an element in jiu-jitsu, or how does it come that you're so strong?
So back in wrestling days, we did like probably 300 push-ups a day. So push-ups became easy. And then on my own, I started with the fingertip push-ups. And this is kind of funny, but I got this from Pavel Satsulin, you know, the kettlebell guy. I can't remember what it's called because it's been a long time since I thought about it, but you kind of tense your whole entire body and visualize yourself being lighter. And with that, I was able to feel so light on the fingers that I could almost just float up. I know it sounds weird.
Okay, but that's interesting. So yeah, maybe you can send me a link so we can put it in the description for the people.
Yeah.
sounds interesting. I want to check that out. Cool.
Yeah.
So like training finger strength, is it something you just do for fun, or do you see any benefits in like your regular workouts?
I see a ton of benefits. So in calisthenics, we often spend a lot of time on the bar and it's always gripping. And same with jiu-jitsu, you know, you're doing a ton of gripping, whether it's gi or no gi. And fingertip push-ups are a really good way to balance out that excessive, flexion of the hands. And it helps prevent tendonitis in the elbow. So I feel like if you're doing a lot of pulling, fingertip push-ups or fingertip planks are a must.
Okay. And you don't have to start on two fingers, I guess. So you can start on five fingers.
Yeah, don't do two. It's kind of dumb.
But like five fingers is something that you would recommend to everyone, just to avoid injuries and to have like a more balanced forearm and elbow, you said, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Gonna implement this. This is a cool advice. Nice. Yeah, talking about tendonitis and injuries in general, you told us in the beginning that you had some severe injuries during your career. Maybe you want to share something about this, like how did it go?
So my first big injury was in wrestling. It was a complete ACL tear and a huge meniscus tear. And we talked a little bit about the crazy childhood and dad, the dying and stuff. So with all that in the background, I didn't have health insurance. And I wasn't able to get that knee repaired. So for about 2 years, I would just... Maybe not 2 years, but a long time, it seems like I'd walk around and the knee would just collapse. It was horrible, horrible pain and instability. I obviously had to quit wrestling. I had to quit a lot of things I was doing. So that's why I know that a lot of mass on my legs can hold me back from some of the calisthenic schools. And the energy expenditure is hard, but it's so important for me to prevent injuries to my, you know, knees, hips, ankles. So that was my first big injury.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is your knee today, like, is it at 100%, or like how is it?
They had to take out most of the meniscus, mm-hmm. and it's kind of, it cracks really, really loud. So when I train legs, I have to wear headphones because it's like disturbing. Yeah. And it's like, it's when I, you know, when I do those handstand drills with the legs straddle and mm-hmm. then bend, it like clicks into position. It's so weird. Oh. But yeah, I take injury prevention really seriously now after that.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is as your first injury. I'm scared to ask, but are there more, or what's the second? Does it become worse, or should we stop here?
It doesn't get worse.
Okay.
the others are just like the shoulder. Partner in jiu-jitsu broke my wrist, so for a while in Instagram back in the day, you could see there's a wrist brace on all the videos. Mm-hmm. But there's one more I'll tell you about. You guys kind of know, but I had a groin injury. Mm-hmm. And I had to wear ice like in my underwear for 6 weeks. It was crazy. And oh, wow. I think I have video of it. I don't know what happened, but I was doing a handstand. I just fell like this on the bar.
Oh, shit.
It was stupid.
Yeah, and that's hard to prevent, like at least with workout, this kind of injury.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was just a fluke. No training could prevent that.
True. Yeah. So when you're so serious about injury prevention nowadays, like what is some advice that you would give to the listeners? To prevent injuries, basically.
So there's certain things I like to do, like rotator cuff training with the band, like external and internal rotation, mobility, training the transverse abdominis when you do core, like the deep, deep abdominals, a lot of hip work with rotation and the band, like hip extension. And again, like making sure you train all different planes of motion. So.
Cool.
And basics, not skipping basics.
True. How do you train the deep abdominals? How do you reach them?
So my favorite way to activate that area is to get into like a tabletop position and just use a strong exhale and pull the belly button into the spine super hard and try to keep it there and hold it until you feel it. It might hurt if you do it really well, and hold it maybe 6 to 10 seconds and do like 5 to 10 reps of that. And you'll see like immediately after doing that, the handstand line improves like oh, wow. immensely.
So that's your secret. Now we
yeah, that's
now
my
we have
favorite
it.
Thing. Yeah.
Cool. Nice.
It doesn't look cool, but
yeah, like, but the handstand looks cool, and that's what counts.
Yeah.
Cool. A lot of workout advice. I'm super happy for that, and yeah, thanks already. Questions about the diet, like how serious do you take your diet? Are you somebody who is doing cheat day every day, or like are you more of the clean eater? Like, maybe you can share something about your diet.
So I generally eat protein, vegetables, and a complex carbohydrate. I kind of have to stay away from sugar I have kind of a sensitive blood sugar where I can get the shakes. Have you ever had that?
No, I don't think so, but I don't like sugar. Like, I don't never ate sugar a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, so generally I stay away from sugar. But if I work out hard, I will eat like, it might look like a cheat meal, but to me, it's like important. I'll eat like pizza, cheeseburger, you know, just to get the extra calories. But I recently did a bodybuilder diet that I got from my friend Rudy. And that was like, you weigh out every single portion and you like plan out every single meal. I did it for like 6 weeks and I was so ripped from it. Wow. But it's crazy. It goes away. Like if you eat back to normal, it goes away in like 3 days. So,
but you went back to the normal diet because it was too much work, or why did you just switch back?
Kind of experimenting just to see the differences. And I actually like the bodybuilder diet because I ate more and more frequently. And if I'm like out and about, I always have the meals prepared. So since I haven't been doing it, I've been more hungry.
Interesting. So the bodybuilder diet is another thing I have to write down to get shredded for summer. Your opinion and your advice on supplements, like do you take whey protein, creatine, whatever?
I have taken whey protein in the past and my body responds really well to it. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I put on a lot of mass when I use whey. I haven't done that in a long time. I'm trying to take a creatine right now. It's called Crealkaline, where you don't have to load and it doesn't make you bloated. I got it from my friend who owns Swole Green. I'm just so bad about it. So I've taken it like 3 times. So I can't really say if it works or not, but I intend to take it every day. Other than that, I don't really use supplements. I'm just not very good about doing it every day.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Nice. What are your goals this year? What can we expect to see, or like what is something that you have in your mind that you still want to unlock in 2022?
Okay, so I still want front lever. I might quit jiu-jitsu so I can get front lever.
Oh, that's an announcement. No,
just kidding. But I think I want front lever. I want 12 beautiful muscle ups. I want a one arm pull up. I want 40 kg pull up. I want one arm handstand. And I'd like to get back to a nice V sit. My hips, I mentioned this before, my hips get so tight from legs that I can't overcome the tightness. So get V sit. And one arm back lever.
Wow, that's a long list.
I know. It might be like 2025, but whatever.
Yeah, cool. But better like too many goals than no goals at all, I think. Because you know, have a direction you can go to. You're not like demotivated too much by small obstacles like the hip stiffness, etc. So good luck for that. I really hope that you will unlock all of that.
Thanks.
That's cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Nice. We're slowly coming to an end. We always have some quick questions, quick answers at the end of every interview. So first question is, what's your favorite food?
Can I say two?
You can.
Okay. Pancakes with just butter, no syrup, and Thai food, like curry, red curry, stuff like that.
Now I get hungry. Cool.
Yeah.
Are you a dog or a cat person?
Cat, because I've never had a dog.
Okay. What athletes inspire you?
Let's see. There's so many that inspire me. But with my goals, I'm mostly inspired by Vadim, Gadji, and Natalia.
Cool. So maybe you want to go in detail, like Natalia, because of her clean muscle ups.
Yep. Her muscle ups are a dream. If I could do it like that, at that volume, I could die happy tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that good. And then same with Vadim. I love the intensity he brings. Like, just like you're going to war when you go to train, like a maniac. And I just love that. It inspires me and motivates me so much. And then Gadji, I like his kind of, he is a trained gymnast, but he kind of applies his own unique flair to everything. And it's super fun for me to watch. And he's also very intense when he trains. So sure. I like
that. Nice. What's your favorite skill?
It has to be muscle up. Even though it's not my best skill, it's my worst, but it's my favorite. And then flag, of course, is my favorite.
Nice. Boom. If you have to decide, pull or push?
Dang. I'm like about 10 times better with push than I am pull, but I want pull more. So I'm going to say pull.
Nice. What's your favorite music genre?
Oh, I used to like heavy metal rock mostly, but now I'm liking like kind of dark hip hop the most.
That's a change. Like, yeah.
I know. Like the more evil, the better.
Okay. the evil cat lady.
Yeah.
No. Cool. What's the best movie ever in your opinion?
Oh my gosh. So I have two favorite movies. One is The Death of Stalin. It's so funny to me and I love Russian history. So I love that movie. And the other is this movie called Something About Mary. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh my God. It's so funny. I've watched it about 20 times. Ben Stiller is my favorite actor and he zips up his balls in his pants and they're like sticky it out. So many funny things happen. So that's my two favorite movies.
Okay, cool. I think I get the direction of the film. Nice. What was the best calisthenics event you've ever been at?
I've never been. I went to an expo one time and it was super cool. It was like San Jose. And I got to see Battle of the Bars in real life for the first time. It was just crazy. I can't imagine like going over there and to Europe and going to like FIBO. I can't imagine. It'd be crazy.
Yeah. I'm also really looking forward to this day, being able to host you at the FIBO will be really cool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It would be so cool.
The day will come.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh my gosh.
Nice. What's your message to the calisthenics community as the last question of the day?
So is this to like newer athletes or like the pros?
Basically, to everyone listening, but they don't reply if we ask them now if they are beginners or advanced. I would say just to everyone in the listening, to everyone listening.
Okay, so. I'm going to assume that most of the people listening are going to be like on their own workout journey, you know, not necessarily pros. So I'm going to say the single greatest thing you can do for your progress is reverse any natural impatience that you have. So first, have patience, which is discipline, and then you can apply consistency, and within the framework of consistency, you will for sure get to your goal.
Wow. Cool. Thank you for sharing. Thanks for the interview. Thanks for your time, Kiri. I really appreciate it. If people want to get in touch with you, if people want to contact you, how is it best for you?
DM. I try really hard to answer all of them.
So Instagram DM, we will put your Instagram in the link in the bio.
Together. Maybe we should just get email. They're gonna get lost in there.
Yeah, but nice. Yeah. Thanks again for your time. Thanks to everyone listening to this till the end. And I really appreciate it if somebody takes 53 minutes to listen to us. And Kiri, you have the last words. Thanks again from my side, and hopefully see you soon in real life.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thanks for everything. And I got my package yesterday. I love everything. It's over the top.
That's cool.
So, thanks.